Hi everyone, and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 210. So as we are here a couple of days before Yom Kippur, and everybody realizes it's an important day and there's something that needs to be done, I wanted to talk about what perhaps that is that we need to do on Yom Kippur. It's not so obvious, and let me explain why. We know the process of tshuva has a few steps to it. First step of tshuva is vidui. That's called admission, admitting that you did something wrong. That's usually a challenge. People blame and they point fingers and they say it wasn't me or it wasn't that, I didn't do it. But the first thing we need to do is, you know, usually bang our fists on our chests and we say, you know, chatasi, I did something wrong. That's step number one. Step number two is charata, that's remorse. Remorse is, yeah, I did it, and not only did I do it and I felt proud, but I did it and I feel terrible. I realize that it made me a worse person. I realize that it disconnected me from my relationship to God, and I feel badly about that. Then there's step three, and this might have two parts to it, but step three is the change part, the actual change, where I went from one thing into another. I changed my behavior, and I don't find myself next Yom Kippur dealing with the same thing. Now, this is the really hard part, being that every Yom Kippur we come, and every Yom Kippur we might look at ourselves kind of like we did the year before, not a whole lot changed. And so how in Yom Kippur are we supposed to have an attitude of change where, yeah, I can do vidui, I could admit, yeah, I can have charata, I can feel bad for maybe the gamut of things that I don't do correctly, but how do I actually execute any sort of change that's effective? Now, the first thing we need to remember is this is part of how it works. We're all the same. There's a Mishnah that says in Maseches Avos, Al tehi rasha b'fnei atzmecha. Do not feel wicked. Do not feel like you're a bad person. Rabbeinu Yonah says, because that's the paralysis to tshuva. Shelo yehi rasha b'fnei atzmo sheinu yachol lachzor b'tshuva. If we say we can't change, if we say we can't mend and fix the things and the problems that we have, then of course we're not going to do tshuva. Otherwise, you know, we understand. Ein tzadik ba'aretz kein tzadik ba'aretz asher yasa tov v'lo yechta. Pasuk in Koheles reminds us that everybody sins and everybody makes mistakes, and that's okay. And I have a lot more to say about that topic, but I want to move on to something, really an event that happened yesterday. Yesterday I was in class teaching a little bit that I'm going to teach you. It took me 40 minutes. This will take 6. But a student said, why haven't I ever heard this before? Why haven't I ever heard this before? And so I said, you know what? Maybe she's not the only one who hasn't heard what I'm about to teach you before. And so therefore, I wanted to share this idea before Yom Kippur. It's something to chew on. And I think a very significant and important idea when we try to figure out, okay, so we're going to change, and we can't change everything, but what is it that we should change? And I've shared this before in a variety of different contexts and shiurim and places, and so I apologize if I'm repeating anything here, and you've heard it already, but it seems to be, I hope, worth review. So the question begins with the concept of tzitzis. We know in the third paragraph of Shema, we're told that we make tzitzis u'ri'isam osam, and you're going to see them u'zichartem eskol mitzvos Hashem va'asisam osam. You're going to see the tzitzis, and you're going to remember the mitzvos, and you're going to do them. So that's actually a pretty tall order, right? Why would it be that you're going to see tzitzis, and you're going to remember the tzitzis, and you're going to do, I'm sorry, you're going to remember the mitzvos, and you're going to do the mitzvos. Like, why in the world would that be? How would that work? So we know there are a bunch of famous answers. Answer number one is Rashi. Rashi says, well, if you take tzitzis and you add it all up in gematria, tzadik yud, tough, that equals 600. If you take the 8 strings of tzitzis and you take the 5 knots of tzitzis, so then altogether you have 613. 613 is the number of mitzvos. So tzitzis reminds you of the number of mitzvos. That's the, you know, so that you remember the mitzvos. Va'asisam osam, you're going to do them. Why are you going to do them? I'm not sure why you're going to do them, but because you remember them, hopefully you'll be inspired to do them. Good, that's Rashi. Ramban asks the question. Ramban says, I don't understand. If you look in the Torah, it's actually, the word doesn't have both yuds. Yeah, they're both vowels, and you can sort of give and take vowels sometimes, but it's tzadik yud, tzadik tough. And if so, then it's spelled without a yud, and your math doesn't even add up. So the Ramban suggests something different. He says the idea is really the blue string. The blue string of tzitzis focuses you in a particular direction. It's as if, like, you know, I'm walking around and I see a little bit of sand on the asphalt, and I see the sand, and I'm like, oh, you know, sand makes me think of the beach, and sand makes me think of flip-flops, and it makes me think of last summer, and it makes me think of the friend that I met last summer. And the sand sends our minds racing in a particular direction that we're focused on, that makes us happy. And so The tzitzis, says the Ramban, the blue string makes us think of things. It makes us think of the sea, which makes us think of the reflected sky, which makes us think of God's throne up in the sky, so to speak, and then makes us think of Torah and God's commandment and mitzvos, and inspires us towards them and inspires us to do them. That's the Ramban's idea. Okay, now hopefully that works for you, or maybe Rashi's work for you, but you know, not everybody. It's not necessarily something, or it's not a direction that we are thinking towards. Sefer HaChinuch gives another example or another explanation. He says, you know, it's like a uniform. It's like a uniform that you wear, and the uniform reminds you of your status, of your post, of your position, of the army that you're in, what your job is. So it's the uniform of the Jew, and the Jew, therefore, is reminded of the tzitzis and hopefully is inspired towards them. I'd like to share with you an idea that I picked up once from a Gemara in Menachos, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara says the following thing. And this perhaps is a fourth explanation, but I think is relevant for Erev Yom Kippur. Tanya, Hayyarab Meir Omer, Gadol Onsho Shalov and Yosemisha Onsho Shal Tchelas. The punishment, so to speak, of the whites is more difficult than the punishment for the blues. And let me explain what that means. White thread, white tzitzis, come naturally, right? Sheep are white. White is pretty simple. White is straightforward. But the blue is complicated. The blue, as we know, is a whole process. You go to the Murex trunculus snail. You have to go specifically to the tcheles item, this particular color, which is expensive nowadays. It might cost you $70, where a regular pair costs you $10. It's much more difficult. Says the Gemara, the punishment, so to speak, of not doing the white is worse than the punishment of not doing the blue. And what that means is a very, really simple idea, that everything is subjective. Then even within one mitzvah, you have hard parts and easy parts. And the expectation of all of us is that we do the easy things first. And if we're not doing the easy things, then we should wonder why not. The Gemara goes on to give an example, which I'll change a little bit. I give two people a job. One of them has to get me a Coke from the fridge in my house, and I give him 5 minutes. Another one has to get me a Coke from down the street in the store, and I give him 5 minutes. They both don't show up in 5 minutes. Who am I more annoyed with? I'm more annoyed with the person who had the easier job. And so what this Gemara is saying is that what we usually think of as all mitzvahs are the same, they're all pretty overwhelming, they're all a lot of work, and they're all equal, that might not be true. Mitzvahs might be inherently subjective. Not just within one mitzvah of tzitzis, it might be, there might be hard parts and easy parts. You might have Shabbos, which might be, some parts might be hard for you, some parts might be easier for you. And more so, where one part might be hard for you, that might be easy for me, based on my surroundings, based on my background, based on my education, based on my upbringing. All of these things might change how I come towards that mitzvah, whether it's difficult or whether it's hard. And so what I tell my students to do every year is I say, listen, make a list of blues and make a list of whites. Make a list of things that are a little bit difficult. Maybe we need to shelve for a future year, for a future time. Those are the blues. Make a list of whites. And the whites are the things that are approachable, that are doable. Those are the things that perhaps if I do one year, even just one, the next year I'll feel good about that and I'll do another white. And then I'll do another one the year after that, and then perhaps my blues start turning into whites and things become easier. It's like that general who recently got up at a commencement and said, the most important thing you can do is make your bed every morning. Because when you make your bed, you feel good, you did something right, you started off your day with an accomplishment. Mitzvah gereres mitzvah. Doing small, meaningful things are important. Now, the one thing you got to beware is back in the day, back in the Talmudic times, you had people who would be selling a blue, which was not the right blue. It was called Kla Ilan. It came from a tree instead of coming from the particular live organism that it was supposed to come from. And it looked the same. So we know we have a tendency to put things in a blue column that aren't really supposed to be there. We have a tendency to manufacture a fake blue, perhaps. But I think this is the idea that gets us forward. What are we going to actively change this Yom Kippur? If we have an entire laundry list, odds are nothing will happen. 3 days later, we won't be doing them. A week later, we won't even remember what they are. That's how New Year's resolutions work. But what tzitzis are inspiring us towards, and this is the avasisa mosambla, and you're going to go and you're going to do them and you're going to remember all the mitzvos. Why? How? Because it offers a model for mitzvah performance that is reasonable. It offers a model that is inspirational, I believe. Really parse out all of our lives and all of the things that surround our lives and the circumstances that dictate these elements and say some things are easy, some things are hard. The expectation that I have coming into Yom Kippur is to work on the things that are easy. make sure we do those. Hopefully that'll send us down a path where everything gets a lot easier. I hope and I wish for all of you a Gemar Chasima Tova. I realize tomorrow's a busy day. It might be that you won't, people won't have a chance to listen if I talk about something relating to Yom Kippur. And so therefore, today will be our last class before Yom Kippur. We will pick up again on Monday. Have a Gemar Chasima Tova. Everybody should have a wonderful and blessed year. Let's accomplish all those whites, maybe even a couple of blues. Just kidding. Just one white, just something small, so that next year we could look back at this year and say, this year, this Yom Kippur, was an absolute success. Bye-bye.